Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. As we live up here, kind of on the what they call the Niagara Escarpment, right? Often when we're driving with our kids, if we go down into Greenleaf or down into Green Bay, a couple of our kids will yell out, "We can see a long ways!" Often looking at Greenleaf and into Wrightstown. And when you're looking into Green Bay, you can see a long ways, right? And when you're going into Green Bay, what stands out to you as you go down the hill? There might be this large building, maybe with a big G on it, and some screens, kind of stands out over the rest of Green Bay. If you've been to Lambeau, or maybe you've been to some other stadiums. I've been to Arrowhead Stadium. I've been to Memorial Stadium, where the Huskers play. My friends and I, even when we were in college, we went on a tour of college stadiums throughout kind of the Midwest. And these stadiums are huge. I know someone that just went to SoFi Stadium to see the Packers play. I once went to we call it Jerry World, down in Dallas where the Cowboys play. Gigantic buildings, aren't they? Some kind of say they're the cathedrals of our culture today, where billions of dollars are spent on building these buildings. If you've never seen them, or if you come from a long way, the trek there and getting there, you look up in amazement, don't you? This is actually what it kind of was like for the disciples as they approached the temple in Jerusalem and the context of our reading today. It's the context of where Jesus talks about what is going to happen, because the disciples, they're, you know, not from Jerusalem, and so here they are in Jerusalem, and they're looking around, and they're like, "Oh, it's so amazing. Jesus, look at this beautiful temple." It says at the beginning of chapter 13, as Jesus was leaving the temples, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." It's true that the stones of the temple were massive. I've been there in Israel, and they're just gigantic. And so you look up, and you're like, amazed. And the temple at that time, it was beautiful. Herod had made this amazing temple, this temple mount just stood out over everything. So his disciples are amazed, but what does Jesus reply? He says, "Do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." Could you imagine that? Could you imagine going to like the front of Lambeau and someone going, "Oh, this is so amazing. It's so beautiful." And someone going, "It's all going to come crashing down one day." And you're all excited, and then you're like, "Ooh, okay. So that's how it is." Well, he's saying this is what's going to happen. That these magnificent buildings, this magnificent temple that they all loved, one day it was going to come crashing down. And so the disciples asked them about this. They said, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the signs that they're about to be fulfilled?" Because just like anyone who had said these massive arenas would one day come crashing down, you might want to know when and how, who could do this and why and when. So Jesus tells them, and he tells them and explains to them what's going to happen and how we should be prepared for it. To be watchful, prepared witnesses for the end times. So Jesus explains what's going to happen. He says to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdoms. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains." this explains all these signs of what was going to happen. And in a sense, he's telling them to be watchful. Watch for these things because we know that this world is temporary. And so watch for these things because when these things happen, we know that the end is coming. And for the disciples and what Jesus is talking about here, it's important to understand that often in prophecies, they're kind of like mountaintops. There's if you've ever driven to like Colorado, you'll see it. One mountaintop, and then behind, you think, oh, that's the big mountains, and then behind, there's even bigger mountains. Well, Jesus here is talking about one thing, but also talking about another. The immediate fulfillment of this would happen in 70 AD. Because is that temple still standing today? It's not. And what were the signs that that temple would be temporary and come down? He talked about wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes. And these things were all happening and happened as the Romans besieged Jerusalem, as they set fire to the temple and brought this thing that the Jewish people all centered around tumbling down. But that picture of just the temple coming down and the signs was not just signs for that, but also they're signs for you and for me about the end of this world. We need to be reminded and see that this world will come to an end, either if it's the last day or when God calls us home. And so we need to be reminded that this world is temporary and we see the signs. And if you think about it, the famines, the earthquakes, the wars, how long have those things been raging on? But from the beginning of time. And since the time that Jesus died on the cross and rose again and Pentecost came, we've been living in the end times. He could return at any time. And so to remember, things are temporary. And so we look up at these huge stadiums. Can you be passionate about sports? Can you love going to games and can you spend money on it and can you go? Of course you can. Can you be passionate about your work and your hobbies and politics and maybe all sorts of other things in this world that you can be passionate about? Of course you can. But it's a question about priorities and understanding that these things do not compare to God. And I don't have to get all wound up in what happens or don't happens when it comes to your sports team. They win or lose. Are you devastated for the next day, the week? Or can you put it in proper perspective? When it comes to politics, are we putting all our hope and joy and thoughts of salvation in this candidate or that candidate? And are we so afraid if this person gets in or that person gets in that it's all over? Politics, governments are temporary. We need to be reminded of that. We'll talk more about that tomorrow night in our Election Eve service. But to be reminded that all these things are temporary. They're not bad, but we don't put our hope in them. We don't find our identity in them. We find our identity in Christ and our eternal identity, that He has heaven in store for us. But what do we face until that time? That's one of the challenges. Jesus tells the disciples what they will face. He says, "You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit." We can read that and kind of glance over all the things that he tells the disciples they're going to face. You're going to be handed over to councils and flogged. You're going to go before governors and kings. Don't when you're arrested and brought to trial, there's quite a few things that they're going to face. Are these things that we have to face? Have you been arrested for your faith? Have you been flogged for your faith? No. I know people. I continue to work with the 316 Now ministry that works with Chinese, that they are being arrested or they're being pulled in to be interrogated for being Christian and for sharing their faith. But are we facing that? Not really. So that's one thing we do have to be thankful for. We live in a country that has freedom, that we can come here and worship in public and share the gospel with others without the fear of being arrested. So what, though, might we encourage us to be ready to face, though? Yes, someday we might need to face this, so be prepared for that. But what maybe would Jesus tell us? I would say, as you are to be prepared, be ready, because you're going to be confronted, you're going to be questioned, and you will be ridiculed. Yes, you maybe haven't been arrested, but have you faced those things? Have you been questioned for your faith? Have you been ridiculed and confronted for what you believe and stand for? My guess is if you have shown your faith and confessed your faith in anything public, among friends, among family, among people who aren't Christian or, you know, straying from the faith, these things have happened to you. So should we be surprised? Should we be shocked when a loved one, a coworker, confronts us or ridicules us or asks us questions about our faith? But why are we? Because I think we so often are, that they ridicule us or confront us and question about your faith, and we're just like, oh, why is this happening? Well, how long has it been happening? Go back to Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Go to what Jesus said. Go to Martin Luther and what he faced. Is it anything new that people don't like God? They don't like the Word of God. They don't like the gospel. This is nothing new, and so we shouldn't be surprised. Instead, we should be prepared to answer the questions when we're confronted and ridiculed of, you don't believe this, what the world says? No. But I think that can help us, though. If we're prepared and know that this is going to be happening, then I can maybe respond in a better way. I don't have to be offended. I don't have to be shocked, but I can share with peace. I can share with confidence. I can share the reason for the hope that I have. When you get all angry and maybe take it personal that someone's attacking you, you maybe attack them or make it about the thing it's not about. And you get maybe emotional, but we should be prepared for this. And maybe there's times you feel like, I don't know enough, or I don't have a strong enough faith. Well, what does God tell us? He tells us the gospel must first be preached to all nations, and then as you're standing trial, says, do not worry beforehand what to say. Whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Now, this isn't saying don't prepare, because I just said you're prepared. But it's meant to give you confidence. Because you're a witness. A witness of what? Well, the truth is that you are a sinner saint. That you understand what it means to struggle with sin and to struggle with this sinful world, but you also know what it means that you have the gospel, that you're forgiven, that you're loved, and that you can have peace in this world that has so many troubles and so many conflicts and sadness and pain, but you know where to run to. But an encouragement on this is, which of these identities do you cling to more? The sinner part or the saint part? My encouragement is to cling to and to share the gospel. We read a book recently in my pastor coaching program, the cross-training program, called Christian, Who Are You? That's by a Wells pastor, Mark Cares. He's done a lot of work with Mormons out in Utah and Idaho. But what he talks about is, do we find our identity more in that sinner part or that saint part? Are you clinging to the fact that you're in your sin and you make mistakes all the time, or are you clinging to the fact that you're loved and redeemed? I think sometimes we can come to church and we just focus on that law too much. And the truth is, some people, maybe you're ignoring sin and really only hearing gospel, so maybe sometimes you need to hear that sin part and the law. But I think for many of us, we hear that and identify with that sinner part too much. He says in the book, he asks people, what do you identify with? And he asks people to raise your hand. Do you identify as a sinner or as a saint, someone redeemed? We're going to have Saints Triumphant in a couple of weeks as we talk about those saints who have gone on to heaven, but you yourself right now are a saint. You're forgiven and redeemed. And this world struggles with that. And the world does not function in the idea of gospel, does it? Everything else is all about law, and they don't understand how to forgive. They don't know that they are forgiven. And so go out and share that. And you know that. You know the peace and forgiveness that is true. Are you equipped? Are you prepared? We know what is around us. We know the world, and that is temporary. And so we cling to that eternal truth of our salvation. And we're prepared because we know that up until that time, it's not going to be easy. We're going to be confronted, but you are prepared. We turn to Luther, who has so many quotes, so many things about the beauty of the gospel and the truth of the word and how it empowers us, and that we can understand that we are not righteous by doing righteous deeds, but we've been righteous and made righteous so we can do righteous things for others. You are prepared to go out into the world. And Luther says this amazing quote. He says, a simple layman armed with the scripture is greater than the mightiest pope without it. You have the word. Jesus encourages us that the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say, but you're here. You're in your devotions. You go to kids, you go to school, you're learning the scriptures and the truth. And if you don't feel prepared, continue to learn and grow. But you know what has made you saved. The truth of the gospel. Cling to that. Cling to your salvation and go out into the world sharing that eternal hope. That we live forever. You're watchful, prepared witnesses of that true gospel message. Amen. Please stand. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.